The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. It's an open line today on Manx Radio's Man in Line. So, whatever's on your mind, that could be what the rest of the Isle of Man is listening to by calling 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Well, that new statue's going up at St John's anyway. His sister Dying Bill seems to be marooned in Westminster. And it looks like finally the buses are going to be going back. So text, email, call, WhatsApp, whatever's on your mind. And Andrew's first with us today. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy, and listeners. Peel Town Commissioners, I was in attendance at the public meeting last night as a ratepayer. Along with, I counted maybe 20 other members of the public, including Minister Crookall and former Commissioner Hazel Hannan, as well as your colleague Emma doing the reporting. Basically, what came from it was shameful, the attitude of the commissioners towards Commissioner Katrina, and how she was treated was shameful. But I have to say, strong woman, stood her ground, even though she was shut down on a number of occasions. And at the end, when they were going into closed session, and she asked if Minister Crookall could be in attendance, and they all closed her down so that he was locked out. However, some good things did come from the meeting. Oh, firstly, I'm wondering if your newsroom is able to check. The first statement that came from them said there was going to be an internal investigation. Yet last night, Mr. Ray Harmer, the chairman, read out a prepared statement which said there's going to be an external investigation. So I'm wondering which it is, and if it's an external investigation, who could feasibly do such a thing? So that was my first point. The second point was, the good news is that the music stage looks like it is going to go ahead. Costs were announced of £26,000. And so this is all pretty much, though, there is a list of acts, performances, etc., but it's pretty much contingent on some money forthcoming from the Enterprise Events Fund. But that is good news for Peel. So that's pretty much all I really wanted to say. Thanks,
okay,
Andy.
And what's your main takeaway from that meeting you attended last night, Andrew?
Well, those two aspects was, firstly, okay, a bit of progress there for the music stage. That's good. But the second item was that it seems to be a cabal, I think I'll use that word, that seems to be there that just... we're running this as our own little fiefdom, and we don't want information coming out to the public as to how it's run and what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Have a good weekend.
Cheers now.
All right. Bye. 10 past 12, and David's with us now. Hi, David. We'll find David. He's on blighted line three. We'll find David in just a few moments' time. You may be wondering what this situation with Peel is if you've been on the moon for the past couple of weeks. The first Peel Town Commissioners meeting was held last night since this row between one of the board members and the local authority. Katrina Baptist posted a video alleging poor governance, transparency and accountability at the end of March, in particular what she's described as inaccurate minutes relating to a vote on a proposed beat stage. This led to a statement from the commissioners which said Miss Baptiste will be the subject of an internal investigation and that there was no vote, followed by a second statement confirming there was an informal vote. Well, as Andrew said, our local democracy reporter Emma Draper was there in what was a standing room only affair, and she spoke to Katrina Baptiste.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
I just felt really encouraged. It was lovely to see all those Peel ratepayers come in and taking an interest in local politics. I hope that they come again, because it's in this boardroom we make decisions that affect everybody, and there's lots of things that are really topical, so I would encourage more people to come, and maybe we need to buy some more chairs, and that would be great. And hopefully my aim is that we can get some young people into politics and we can have a more representative board that are in there, some younger people and maybe some people that are working, all different demographics that reflect the community that we live in.
And you did raise just at the end of the meeting there that you felt a bit unsafe without the DOI minister in the meeting. Would you just be able to explain that just a little bit further for me?
Yeah, I've learned quite a lot over the last few weeks, as I'm sure you can probably imagine, since doing that video. And I've learned that elected members aren't covered by bullying and harassment legislation the same as an employee. So if I was in a workplace and I had an employer, I'd be able to have somebody with me in the meetings to make sure that it was fair. But we're not afforded the same experience as an elected member. So I'm forced to be in this room and it's behind closed doors. And essentially anything can be recorded or minuted. And I don't really have a say in it. So that's what I meant by that.
How have you been feeling these last few weeks? I imagine you've been quite overwhelmed and quite stressed. So how have you managed to combat that and come to the meeting tonight? Which I imagine what is quite an overwhelming situation.
Yeah, I felt really daunted about coming tonight. I felt really nervous. All I tried to do is to tell the ratepayers why things weren't being delivered. That's all I wanted to do, is to tell the people of Peel, and it really blew up. And then Peel Town Commissioners thought it was appropriate to get some solicitors in. So I felt a little fearful, to be honest. But I know that those people voted for me to deliver a mandate. So I thought, I've got to come. I can't just quit, because then I don't achieve anything. So I just felt so encouraged when I came along, and there were all these people here, and they clearly care the same as I do, and we all just want to get stuff done, you know, and get good value for money for the ratepayers. So thank you to everybody that came tonight.
Katrina Baptiste talking to our local democracy reporter, and interesting state of affairs. I wonder what's going to come out of this. Right, we found David. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me, mate?
Loud and clear, thank you.
Lovely. I just want to clear up a few things that were mentioned yesterday. Paddy was on about the Max Utilities and the old days when Mike Prophet was in charge of it.
Yep.
There. Now, I can remember at the time I was in Parliament when we amalgamated the MEA to the Water Authority, and the Water Authority were sitting on quite substantial bonds, which eventually we would reuse then to pay some of the debt off. So that's why I'm asking now again whether you'd get the Max Utilities chairman on, or the chief executive, to give us an update, which I think we'll need, well, we do need before the election anyway, to find out where we are on it and what is their policies regarding treating residents and businesses and so forth, regarding putting up solar arrays or wind turbines, because I've been looking at wind turbines. They're all coming from China. That's the problem we've got, is, and we, I don't know if anybody's out there that's, well, there's three, I think, old wind turbines on the island. There's one up north and then one down south, because I know he was on some time ago. And what we're trying to do, I think we're trying to do as a government here, well, should be, is to increase our electricity resilience on this, that, and the other. Could be nuclear, could be wind, and could be solar. So, and into a network. We've got a network at the minute. We've got electricity cables going to the UK. There are also some cables, I believe, going to Ireland as well. So the Isle of Man, in my opinion, is sitting in the middle of the sea there, and it should be a hub for energy, picking up cheap energy. And maybe when we have a spinning reserve from our own power station, is shunning it back out to those who can pay.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. The fact is that we, the public, know very little. We can only pick out what we can from the accounts that are released to the public, but we don't actually know.
Yeah.
And the fact is, lots of other people who produce electricity do put stuff out. I mentioned before there's a thing called Gridwatch in the UK, which will tell you how much electricity they're generating and what it comes from, whether it's wind or solar, or whether it's... they don't burn coal, they burn wood now, don't they? Or gas.
Yeah, they do.
And we don't know how much we've sold to the UK through the interconnectors. So it would be nice to know.
And it was interesting this morning. I went to a coffee morning at the Methodist Church in Onchan. I met a guy called Stan. I won't give his second name out, but a lot of people all know him. He used to be in the MEA years ago. And he said to me, he's got an old tape of Manx Radio about Sunday Opinion that used to happen, and then the man and I would follow on it. And the second caller on the station was me asking him about wind turbines, probably about 40 years ago.
My word. Okay.
So I'm going to try and get you a copy, all right?
That'd be fantastic. All right. Thanks for calling today.
See you, boy.
Cheers now. 17 minutes past 12. Right, so whatever's on your mind. I must, by the way, tell you about a programme that's coming up on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, there's a feature called Old News, looking at news of the past, presented by Howard Kane. And you must listen this coming Sunday. It'll be out as a podcast as well, because Howard's looking at the rebuilding of Castle Rushen High School, and when it was built and when it was proposed, when it was going to happen. I think it was proposed in 1957 and it happened in 1959, and that was when, I'm trying to think who the headmaster was, I think it was Mr. Cretney was the headmaster, but it was also proposed, I think, in 1954 as well. Anyway, tune in on Sunday morning or listen to the podcast. It's all about the new Castle Rushen High School that was built in the 1950s. And that's when it was. Crikey. Right, so any thoughts on that? More messages. Lots of messages are coming over the past few days that I've not got to. One's concerning the tourist tax. And it was Georgina who said, the tourist tax, I heard it on Manx Radio talking about the tourist tax. What a silly idea this is going to be. Nobody's actually said what the money's going to go to. Is this it's just another stealth tax for people on the Isle of Man? More tax. We used to be known as a low tax jurisdiction. But why would a tourist tax, why would anybody think that's a good idea? Least of all, the people are going to have to pay it. Because I'm sure the people who are coming to the Isle of Man know all about this and would recognise it for what it is. Thank you, Georgina, for that. Let's just go back to this Peel thing. The chair of Peel Commissioners has confirmed that a formal employment matter is being conducted and a member of staff is being investigated. Ray Harmer is the chair of Peel Commissioners. He read out a statement at last night's commissioners' meeting which asked residents to respect the confidentiality of the process. The statement comes after a board member claimed the local authority had issues with poor governance, accountability and transparency. Mr. Harmer said until the process had been completed, he won't be commenting more on the matter. Ray Harmer.
I know it's hard and it feels very formal. It may seem quite harsh, but when you actually have to put money aside, that has to be done properly and formally. Another issue that's come out is really about things that have been in committee and things that have been said. They can't then be brought up as new business items on the agenda. You've already had that opportunity. What I can say is that we have been looking since November at all of the standing orders to see what needs to change. So you have to do it as a whole. You can't sort of piecemeal and pick it. And that's the board resolution. So everything we do is done as a board. And it's really important to understand that we work as a collective, as a team. And that's been the bit that's really been difficult. I have to personally say some of the things have been quite heartbreaking. And I really think that it's really important to be constructive and positive. So that's really where I'm coming from.
But would you say the board has been supportive and constructive towards the situation with Katrina? I mean, she did ask this evening if she could have the DOI minister with her in committee, and you all turn around and refuse no. Would you say that's supportive and constructive? constructive with her situation?
I think until you know the full situation and the matter that I'm talking about, and then there's all the facts, it's very difficult to actually answer that question, because some of what I'm talking about is regarding employment issues and all those kind of things that are totally confidential, that I can't.
But she's not an employee.
So why
would you not allow her the opportunity to have the DOI minister?
No, when we speak to DOI, when we have the DOI minister, it's to speak about DOI issues. We've got some other confidential issues regarding other things that happen in really important things in the town. It's not the case that we invite people to supervise a meeting. As I say, I think it's really important to be positive. It's difficult for me to explain all the things, because I'm bound by the external investigation and confidentiality. So that's probably as far as I can go really on this.
Ray Harmer, Chair of Peel Commissioners. I wonder what your thoughts are. And obviously, Mr. Harmer explains very eloquently what has to happen. Obviously, there's a process, and that process has to be followed. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens when, if you like, it all comes out in the wash. It's typical of the Isle of Man to build a statue to remember a Viking warlord who took three attempts to take the Isle of Man. Many Manx people were killed at the Battle of Sky Hill. There was significant destruction across the island, loss of forest for shipbuilding. Vikings weren't a positive force in that period, says Ian on 047. Was there an upside to the Vikings? Well, Tynwald, of course, is Tingvolla. Peel Commissioners, says George, come across as outdated and overly focused on internal power struggles. It feels like a petty fight for control and hierarchy. I support Katrina. Keep on doing what you're doing, says George. We need change. Here's Gaz. Thousands of homes will not be able to install EV charging points or even park close enough to charge a vehicle. This will mean people having no vehicle in 10 years' time. What planning is being done to expand public transport to handle the tens of thousands of extra passengers? Says Gaz. Good point. Well, at least the bus drivers are back, so that's a bit of a start, isn't it? Pickering in Ontario is powered by nuclear with no problems at all, says Daphne. Give me nuclear power before whirligigs every day. I think that's the wind farm she's talking about. And we brought up yesterday the support that the UK government's given to Rolls-Royce to look at these small modular reactors. A nuclear reactor will be best located at Jerby. So if anything went wrong in the middle of the night, it wouldn't affect many residents, says Will. Tourist tax, idiotic idea. We should be advertising that we're tourist tax free. Surely that would attract more visitors, says Paul on 715. This sounds like the typical treatment of a whistleblower at Peel Commissioners. Not being allowed to be accompanied and bringing in lawyers doesn't seem like a fair or just process, whatever the true facts may be, says 562. Well, the trouble is, we don't know what the true facts are, do we? So until we've got that, then we won't know. So this statue, by the way, is a message in from Mary, who just said, is this thing going to happen? Well, the appeal against the plans for a new statue has just been dismissed. It means that the statue can go ahead. That's subject to conditions and will be installed adjacent to Tynwald Hill. It'll be next to the hill, standing at just under 3 metres tall and 1.8 metres wide. 3 metres, 10 feet, 1.8 metres, 5'5", something like that. The illuminated statue of Godred Crovan, with his arm outstretched, is to be placed on a nearby verge in recognition of the Norse origins of the Isle of Man's Parliament. Darren Jackson and Stephanie Quayle are behind other well-known works. They did the Heron in Castle, that huge thing, that Heron in Castletown. So, what are your thoughts on this? Do we need more statues? I mean, the statues that we have seem to attract attention. George Formby does, doesn't he? Norman Wisdom does, and the Bee Gees certainly do.
Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine. Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man. 627-335.
If you have children, pets, or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from $199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Herschel.co.im. The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories, and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
Since 1992, the Department of Education has been teaching Manx to the island's children. For just over a third of a century now, most children have been learning a bit of Manx at primary school, and some have been learning a lot more at secondary school. As part of Blaine the Gilga, Year of the Manx Language Perspective continues its series of talks with the movers and shakers of the Manx language with the head of the Department of Education's Manx Language Service, Cathy Clucas. That's Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Cathy Clucas has been at the heart of the Manx language revival for three decades. She must have been very young when she started.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes past 12, Friday lunchtime on the Isle of Man, with an open line through till 1. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. A message in from, let's see here, this is from Valerie. Hello, Valerie, who just says, what is going on at the jet centre at the airport? Lots of activity down there. We're trying to find out. There's obviously something happening at the jet centre, and as soon as we know, then you will know, Valerie. Frank said, many years ago, a friend of mine came up with the idea of generating energy using the movement of the sea tides. It seemed like nobody was interested in it. I'm trying to think, what's it called? Somebody's duck, isn't it? It was called. Whether or not it's going to work. Well, lots of people have tried, and everybody says it would work around the Isle of Man, and then the experts come in and say, no, it won't. So we don't really know. Obviously, there are some fairly swift currents around the Isle of Man, and we do have a big tidal reach, but what on earth it would mean, what sort of infrastructure would have to be put in, and where would you put it? I mean, crikey, imagine if you put a tidal barrage, it might affect the view, and you know about that, don't you? The Vikings were great, said Mark. I'd welcome them back tomorrow. And Stevie G says, in reference to King Ori being described as a tyrant, well, read our national anthem. In verse 2, it says, when Ori the Dane in Manin did reign, to Swed he'd come from above. For wisdom from heaven to him has been given to rule us with justice and love. Bring on the Vikings. I'd like to change the subject. Says this messenger about the beds in the hospital. They have management in house 4 of them. It's going to cost us money to bring in more people. 069. Well, actually, we'll be able to talk about this a lot on Monday, because the DHSC minister, Claire Christian, MHK, will be in. And it will be interesting, really, to find out what the difference is between Manx Care and DHSC. Who does what? Do you remember, once upon a time, we didn't have Manx Care. The government ran the health service and social care. And then in came Manx Care, that report, Sir Jonathan Michael's report, said we need an arm's length body to run health and social care. So in came Manx Care. And the rest is history. So Claire Christian, we'll bring that up. If you've got any questions for Claire Christian, by all means, email them. Email maninline@manxradio.com out of ours, or studio@manxradio.com during the programme. The answer phone's always on 682-631, or you just take your chances and call 66 13 68. More messages to come in, and when I can find them, here we are. This one is about, oh, I know, and again, this is Ronnie said, are we having cruise ships this year? Yes, we are. 45 cruise ships are going to be coming this season. 45 cruise ships. Last year, 26,000 passengers visited the Isle of Man, and they say There's a calculator called the Cruise Britain Calculator. Estimates the average spend per passenger is £80 and includes an estimated total port spend as well. So if you put £80, 26,000, it's about £2 million. Well, Visit Isle of Man reckon it's £2.3 million. That works out at £88.50. But what's £8.50? This season, there's only expected to be 19,600 visitors, although that's said to be down, basically, to the ships being smaller. There'll be 7 maiden visits this year, including the Douglas Mawson, SH Diana, and Sea Dream 2. And this season, we'll see the arrival of the Isle of Man's 500th cruise ship. Visit Isle of Man says that cruise tourism plays an important role in our visitor economy and remains committed to making the Isle of Man a must-see destination for the British Isles. So are they going to be using the government buses, bus vanning, will they be doing it, or will it be Opal now, since Opal, I think, bought Tours Isle of Man? Which buses are going to be looking after everybody? More comment about this statue, by the way. Some for, some against. I mean, I have to say, remember, no taxpayer money is involved in this. The project's going to be completely privately funded. The plans for the sculpture were submitted under the name of Lawrence Skelly, the president of Tynwald. It was his idea. Manx National Heritage objected to it. But there it is. That appeal has been dismissed, and so it's going to go ahead, built by private money. Wilf's with us now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. I just heard now. My daughter-in-law has got a phone going, and they're saying on there that this statue that they're going to do,
yeah,
is George Cowley. I knew George, and it certainly looks like George.
Is it?
did these people that built it, did they know George?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
This is the new Godred Crovan, the Viking one at St John's.
Yes, it's a load of crap.
And it looks like George Cowley.
It is George Cowley, they reckon. People in Peel. The new one. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as... It's them clowns outside the courthouse and Ramsey eating chips. Them two. They were supposed to be two fishermen from Peel. I mean, well, I don't know. I've seen it as a kind of a fashion here. Somebody with a bald head and a ponytail. I can't think that would be in fashion as a Viking. I don't know. But that's what we've got here.
Wow.
They should be melted down. Turned in the knives and forks or something useful.
All right. Thanks, Wilf. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 27 minutes before one. Bring Ragnar from the Norse lands. They came from Sweden and conquered England and Ireland. Hardly any Vikings came from the Isle of Man, says... 669. Well, 669 obviously knows better than everybody else. Why don't the rich put their money in their pockets and pay for us poor people who are struggling? Says 669. Are you telling people how to spend their money, 669? My word. You should stand for office. I'd like to see a statue of Sooty at Tynwald Mills, says Victoria. MHKs are getting rid of the bishop and installing a Viking statue. Is there something going on that we don't know about? Says Dave. Well, we don't know about the bishop, do we, yet? We don't know for certain whether or not the bishop is going to disappear, whether or not our diocese will disappear, the Soder and Man diocese. It's all down to the Church of England. We'll wait and we'll watch and we'll see. A caller yesterday raised a point about the need for more dentists, doctors and a general improvement in general healthcare. In response, you asked him if he'd ever lived off the Isle of Man. He answered he hadn't, and the low level of crime was a factor. You replied the low level of crime makes up for poor service. I don't think I did, but never mind. What relevance does the Isle of Man being a safe place to live have to poor service that we're currently getting here? We feel like we're getting a poor service across the board, and I've just received a huge bill for my rates, says Baz. I don't think I did say that, but that's your opinion anyway, and it's an opinion programme, so there we are. Thank you to... this is Fred. Hello, Fred. I wanted to know what the bus driver's offer is. And what exactly have they accepted? The drivers, and this I think is their seventh offer, the drivers have accepted a reworked and improved version of previous proposals. It delivers a better overall pay position and changes to working arrangements. The full detailed breakdown of pay rates, lump sums and conditions hasn't yet been officially published, so it can't be itemised in any way. Now, this goes back to November of last year. The initial proposal was for higher weekend pay, alongside significant changes to working practices, including flexible rostering. That was rejected. Offer two was an enhanced weekend rate to changes in conditions, with only limited movement on basic hourly pay. That was rejected. Offer three was a shift to a more general pay increase, including a flat hourly rate, a higher flat hourly rate, but still tied to contract changes, including shifts and working patterns. That was thrown out. Offer four, are you following this? Proposed hourly rates reported in the rate of £16.84 with a one-off payment still included changes to areas like sick pay and rostering. Rejected. Five, improved pay offer. Hourly rates up to £17 plus and an adjustment to the one-off payment. Same conditions were softened but not removed. Rejected. And offer six, the final pre-deal, was an improved pay package within roughly the same hourly range, but with additional concessions on terms and conditions. That was rejected. They've accepted offer number seven. So here we are. The buses will be going back. And Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Well, terrific. Thank you for asking.
Sound like not a brilliant sleep like me, but anyway, we'll get on to it. First is the legalisation of cannabis. Chomp chomp.
Which bit? Are we talking about medicinal or recreational?
Well, Alison wants it door to door, doesn't he?
Well, is it? Are you talking about medicinal cannabis or recreational stuff?
Well, yeah, you got a point there. I suppose with I suppose it's recreational. Let's go all the way.
What, you'd like people to be able to buy weed, cannabis, legally?
Well, I think it's more about the oil and the fact that they have certain conditions that... is that medicinal? Sorry, I'm talking about medicinal.
Yeah, that'll... put it this way.
Right,
recreational is smoking a joint.
Yeah, it's basically Amsterdam all over the place, isn't it? Well, okay. I'm just thinking about the Allinson thing, and we can pass on that one then and move on to the next subject. And the next subject was, there doesn't seem to be a speaker's corner in Douglas. I mean, I know we've got Man in Line and things like that, but it doesn't really seem to be. You know how they have in London where they all go to the place and they all talk in politics and code and then not code and then they get the world's to rights. There doesn't seem to be a... Oh, mate. There doesn't seem to be a speaker's corner.
Has there ever been one?
Well, why don't we have one?
Well, Robert, you're the man to start it.
Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Where would you have it?
What would it take?
Where would you put it?
Where would I put it? Hmm. Maybe a Victoria clock. Maybe Victoria clock. I don't mind a Victoria clock. You know the one that ends at Victoria Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe somewhere down there. But I mean, it's a bit... it's a bit not covered up by you know, with the rain and stuff like that.
Well, so, the speaker's corner in Hyde Park, they're not covered up. Everybody's open to the elements.
Well, I can't go to Hyde Park. I'm not interested in London. But I mean, I think we need something. I think we need something different. You know, I think we need something here, and we need something to. I know that we are outside Wetherspoon and have the occasional rolly, but I mean, it's not good enough. We need something better. So we need something more focal and that thing. I think maybe the politicians could have maybe an area. I mean, it's a bit, I'm going a bit kind of like Cat Turner here, but maybe we could have something that, you know, people could meet up and just say, like, look, let's put the world to rights.
Right.
Let's not fight about it. Let's put, you know...
Well, that's
a corner,
that's all right. That's a good way to wrap up on a Friday. Peace and love, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, and Ken's with us now. Hi, Ken.
Afternoon there. So, right, two things. Cruise liners,
yep,
and the average spend,
yep,
which I've never understood. Why the government could tell us how much harbour dues they pay, so you've got a firm figure, they should know that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they don't spend as much in Britain. But the next thing, poor old power station.
Yeah.
Does it? The turbines, I think, are very expensive because they also run on oil rather than gas as an emergency. Is that right?
I don't know. I thought they always ran it. Well, they've got two, haven't they? There are two there, and I understood that they run on gas.
But there's two big tanks there full of oil.
Right, okay. Well, maybe somebody knows better than we do.
Yes, well, hopefully.
Okay.
The other thing, the important thing, is probably this no comment from MHKs about Kroger.
Yeah.
What? Why?
No, I think the no comment was about Moore Vanin, the wind farm.
Oh, Moore Vanin, sorry, not Kroger. Moore Vanin, then. What? It's such an important issue. Why can they not say their opinion rather than being gagged?
Well, that's what they've said. They don't want the politicians to, because they don't want to prejudice something that may come out in the future, because there is a planning process that's going through. And obviously, Orsted, the people behind it, desperately want to get this built because they want to make some money out of it. We'll probably get some electricity out of it, and they'll generate some electricity that'll go into the UK grid. But there's a lot of money involved in this, Ken.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I forget, is it David Quirk that comes on and says, this is my private opinion, nothing to do with the commissioners. Perhaps somebody should come on and say, I'm not speaking as an MHK, I'm speaking as a private citizen, and this is my opinion.
Right.
Mm. Right.
All right. Good to hear from you, Ken. Thanks for calling today. And Julian joins us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. The Pullroads Power Station can run on light oil, so like a diesel oil.
Oh, right.
As well, if they have to. So it's in the specifications, natural gas or light oil. So obviously it's that dual fuel thing. Speaking of Pullroads Power Station, this ultra rapid chargers that they're putting three of them at the airport and one of them at the sea terminal. If you base on what an average house is using, say, at 5 o'clock, you know, when you've got your oven on and stuff, each one of those ultra-rapid chargers is going to pull 50 houses' worth of power. So if you've got three cars charging at the airport, you're going to be looking at 150 houses pulling half a megawatt. And at the sea terminal, if you've got somebody on the existing 75 kilowatt and then you've got the new 160 kilowatt, you're looking at 80 houses worth of electricity getting pulled. And that would be somewhere in the region of 5,000 cubic feet of gas an hour that they'll be using at the power station to supply all that.
It's the future, apparently.
Yeah, gas-powered electric vehicles. I imagine the wires. I mean, it'll be three phase, but if you've got 150 houses worth of power going down the line, it must. I would imagine the crows will be sitting on there trying to keep warm, I would imagine, in the winter.
Well, the thing is that this is coming, and certainly electric vehicle chargers. There are more and more electric vehicles on the Isle of Man, many more than there used to be. So obviously we need more chargers, and the infrastructure has to be put in, and we'll see where it takes us.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you think about these electric chargers, AI data centres that make that look like a pinprick, and heat pumps, because they've already mandated that you can't put gas or oil boilers into new houses, that will each one of those will pull at least 5,000 watts, when they're on. makes you wonder, where are we going to get all this electricity from if they don't put some sort of either update, you know, either service Paul Rose Power Station or, I mean, to be honest, I can't see how they're not going to have to put a bigger power station in.
Well, we'll see. I mean, and the point you make about data centres is very apposite, if you like, in that data centres are going to become the centre of everything. AI and everything that goes with it is going to drain an enormous amount of electricity. But it's almost unseen. It's not like, I mean, you know, you raise the comparison with the cookers and the ovens and the kettles and things like that. We all understand kettles and cookers and microwaves and things like that and convector heaters. Data centres, well, you have to be in the business to know how much an enormous amount of electricity they use.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you think about, say, one of the heavy users on the island, I would estimate that they would be using 26 times the amount of electricity all the time, day and night, compared to those three charges at the airport pulling 150 houses worth of power. So this is where we had this conversation a while ago about, you know, the per capita emissions that the island has, when I estimate almost up to half of all the electricity that Paul Rose is producing is going to data centers on the island already. And AI uses 10 times that because of the processing that needs to be done. So, you know, they use a lot more electricity than the ones that we've got here already. So I'm not quite sure how we're going to decarbonize with all this massive extra load.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Julian. Have a good weekend.
You too, Andy. Cheers.
Okay, a note in from Johnny T said, I must say, would you say congratulations to the Andreas Racing Association? Congratulations, Andreas Racing Association. They've just got an agreement to run the racing circuit at Jerby Airfield for the next 5 years. Well done.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
On Sunday the 26th of April, every person, every household will count in the Isle of Man census. The census works for all of us. It tells us about you, our communities, shows what services the island needs, helps to shape its future. From the 20th of April onwards, every household will be sent a letter explaining how to respond electronically, by phone or on paper. On Census Night, the 26th of April, count everyone in your household for midnight. Do it for everything you care about, for the island, for us.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Millichaps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double folder beds to suit all budgets, including luxury pocket sprung options and a fabulous choice of sofa beds in a variety of styles and sizes. Perfect for home offices and spare rooms, and all in stock for speedy delivery when guests are expected. And don't forget the pillows and bedding, with plenty of choice available at Millichaps. For fold-up beds and more, visit Millichaps today.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Pride is an LGBTQ+ charity supporting the island's diverse queer community. We're planning events and training sessions soon and need more volunteers. The charity is managed entirely by volunteers, relying on donations and grants. To get involved or learn more, find us on Facebook or email isleofprideiom@gmail.com.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Manx Gaelic, Ginian Amera, the mother tongue of Alian Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Here's Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just something that's been going through my mind for a little while. Orsted and the Manx government. Now, the Manx government are pushing forward all the time that they're going to get X number of millions, billions of pounds over a period of time, 35 years or something. Now, Orsted are a business, and they're not going to pay that money, or are they? But what are they going to charge the Isle of Man for electricity that comes from that wind farm to the island? What is the price? There's no quotation of that, but there is a quotation of X number of billions of pounds. Now, will the charge for the electricity generated on that farm coming to the island equate over the period of time to what they're saying they're going to give the island in recompense? Are they bearers of Indian gifts? You know, they give one hand and take it off with the other. And as a business concern, that makes business sense. But are the government, our present government and the past one, and apparently two to come, are they being duped by very clever lawyers? And what they say they're going to be, have the turbines turning out there, they'll pay X number of millions of pounds into the Manx government and then take it back off them again,
right,
by charging electricity rates that will, you know, it would just get rid of that that money that's come in. So it's taking money from one pocket and put it in the other.
Well, and this is the kind of dilemma we find ourselves in, Howard, in that we all want to know the detail of all this, don't we? Because Manx people understand detail. Manx people know how many beans make five. And as yet, we don't have the fine detail of it. And when we ask for the fine detail, we're told, you know, it's subject to planning and this, that and the other, and you can't see it, and elected members can't see it, and we don't really know. Nobody's yet explained, Howard, because these things called contract for difference, which we're going to be paid for by the UK government, which is basically how much they get paid when the wind doesn't blow. If that's going to be paid by the wind, by the UK government, and this is in Manx waters, I don't think the UK has ever done a contract for difference in foreign waters before. So this is new territory. So we don't know, Howard, bluntly.
Well, that's what our government are paid to tell us. They are public servants, we pay them, and they are there to keep us informed and up to date. And this is a horrendous bill that could be sitting on the doorstep just waiting to come through the letterbox. And nobody within our government is given any proper information. They're given tidbits, make it look like it's going to be a generous offer, £2 billion over 35 years. But what's the other end? What's the hand going to take off you?
Mm.
Are they going to charge extraordinary amounts of pounds for the electricity being generated? Or is it a genuine, generous offer from Ørsted? Which I seriously doubt, because if they have any business acumen, they're not going to give their product away.
Yeah.
They wouldn't last long. So somewhere in the government, within the civil service, the government, and even possibly, I won't say they are, but possibly MHKs who are connected with this must have a working knowledge of it. If they don't, they're neglectful. They're not carrying out the duties that we've elected them for.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye
now. Have a good weekend. 7 minutes to one. Beastie's on now. Hi, Beastie.
Hello. Three very quick ones because it's nearly time.
Okay.
First of all, you were talking about Maura Callow the other week. You know who her brother is?
I do. I do know, yes. Oh, my word, yes.
Okay. The second one is they're talking about statues. Well, I was making contributions pre-COVID to a statue of Sophia Golden, and I've heard nothing about it. What's happening about that? We must have a statue of her.
My
Golden Knee Crane, of course.
Yes. And who are you giving the money to?
To the Sophia Golden Statue Organisation.
Oh, right. Oh, well, we'll find out more. Anyway, your third point was?
The third point is, Robert, what a brilliant suggestion. However, let's have it in front of the courthouse in Ramsey. Give me my soapbox. Do they still make them? I should be the first one there, and I hope Robert's there to hear me.
Okay.
And what will I be talking about?
I can guess.
Okay, that's it.
I can guess. Okay. Make sure you, please, everybody, get out and demand some Manx pound notes. Where if you're going to the bank, get some.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I was in Ramsey the other day, and I said to the co-op, when I gave her my pound notes, you will be using these, won't you? And she said, look, pointed in her till, and she got a whole heap of them. She said, yes, we use them all the time. Brilliant.
And you've probably put most of them in there as well, Beastie.
No, from far and wide.
All right. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling.
And you and everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. Good to hear from you. Right. Over the weekend, if you want to get in touch, then it's easy as pie. Email maninline@manxradio.com. On the answer phone, 682631. Right, serious point. Monday, Claire Christian, MHK, South Douglas, MHK, Minister for Health and Social Care is on, and her chief officer, Tim O'Neill, the head civil servant in the DHSC. Manx Care provides, well, everything, don't they? Primary care, urgent, emergency care, community care, social care, mental health services, specialised care, screening, immunisation, women's care, children's care. Nobles Hospital, Ramsey Cottage Hospital, Meds, your GP practice, adult social care, MCALS. So if Manx Care does all that, well, what does DHSC do? Claire Christian's going to be on Monday. Claire Christian and Tim O'Neill from the Department of Health and Social Care. In the meantime, if anybody can tell us what's going on at the private jet centre, we'd love to know. The confirmation about next leaving hasn't yet happened. And did you have your photo taken with Percy Pig yesterday? Yes, I did. Thanks for getting in touch. Remember, we don't always read out every message on air, but every message does get read. Even the insulting ones. And that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a fantastic weekend. Back with Claire Christian on Monday.
WIN